Hi, this is Jeff from National League Town. Greg and I spoke yesterday about the playoffs. I hit the record button and we wanted to share our conversation with you. This is not a substitute for a regular episode of National League Town. We had one last Thursday. I hope you listened to that and enjoyed my rant about Max Scherzer and Greg's remembrances of Joe Christopher. We'll have another one this Thursday, but this is just an interim episode, a bonus episode, the kind we would release to Patreons if we had any. So this is just us talking about the playoffs.
Hey, Jeff.
I like what you wrote the other night. What was it? The team I hate beat the team I hate.
In so many words, congratulations, team we hate, for beating the team we hate. In case anybody isn't sure what we're talking about, that would be the Phillies beating the Braves in the National League Division Series. I realized as that series was ending, and I was quite gratified, not so much watching the Phillies jump around for joy, but just knowing that the Braves were morbid. And I was kind of hoping there'd be more shots of the Braves being morbid, even though that's not the story. If the Mets had won a postseason series, and it's been a while, but I kind of remember what that's like, whatever animus I had built up for whoever we were playing, it's very much a sidebar issue once that series is over. You might remember that you didn't like that team, and the next time you see them, it'll come rushing back to you. But you don't care. You care that the Mets have moved on, and you sort of put the opponent behind you, and you look forward to the next series. But this was a luxury, because I don't really care. The Phillies win, and I kind of on their bandwagon for a few days, but especially because it was against the Braves. And all I could think about was, the Braves are out. This is great. I hate the Braves. I mean, I hate the Phillies, but I really hate the Braves. I guess this is one of those things if you were looking for a proving ground to decide who you hated more, which isn't the healthiest thing in the world. The proof was in the four-game victory by the Phillies over the Braves. Good for them. But even better, just good to watch Atlanta lose. Because you know what? The playoffs belong to all of us. When we're in, it's a different story. You know, there's just this blackout. I don't really notice what's going on in the other series, or it's not of that much concern for me. But here, you know, I can just be a tourist. It's what the postseason is for. It's for the national baseball fan, not the Nationals baseball fan, but, you know, baseball fans who are just still watching. And we get from it what we wish to get from it. I wished ill, not physical or anything, but wished the Braves to go down to defeat, which is something, I think, because there was no real Met-Brave rivalry in 2023. Maybe I'm still licking my wounds from 2022. There was no real Met-Philly rivalry in 2023. Division rivals of ours, never mind of each other. I don't know, maybe it's because we just saw the Phillies toward the end of the season and, you know, it wasn't fun losing to them. It was fine beating them when we did. But something about the Braves just stuck with me as a boy. I hope they have no extra success, even though they were the best team in baseball during the season, certainly record-wise. But I will scoot over on the couch, make room for the Braves fans, who are all going to watch the rest of the postseason together.
Yeah, I was thrilled that Atlanta lost, not that Philadelphia won. I have nothing against Phillies fans. As I've said on the show, I think they're more like us than they would care to admit. But I find Atlanta fans to be entitled, and I can't stand that chant they do, and they're arrogant. And they cheered when Pete got hit late in the season after their pitcher, Charlie Morton, put Pete out of action for a while. They cheered when in a later game when Pete got hit. So I'm thrilled that they're not happy. And the way their players acted was wrong also. Judging from the Phillies players, they were terrific. Harper is what we aspire Pete to be in big moments. But the way the Braves acted, we saw Luis Angel Acuña's big brother holding up an iPad to the camera to show that the umpire made a bad call. And there was that whole controversy, quote unquote, with Arcia making the comment about Harper. with former Met Travis d'Arnaud being upset about a comment that was made in the clubhouse. It was made in the clubhouse. Reporters were there. What a bunch of whiny babies. What do you think about that controversy?
I liked Arcia better when it was the official cola of the Mets in 1969, Arcia Cola. Fair game in the clubhouse after the game the other night. Yeah, Harper getting caught off first base. Not a great base running play on his part. Instigated by a very good catch. Not quite all-time classic catch. They were trying to make it out to be by Michael C. Harris, but he made a nice catch at the wall. Got the ball back into the infield. A couple of relays. They took care of Harper. Ended the game. And if Orlando Arcia wants to be excited about that and kind of poke fun at the other team's star player getting doubled off first base while a bunch of reporters are around doing their jobs and saying, ha, attaboy, Harper, own it, as they say. Not that big a deal. Maybe somebody's got to do a little media training for these Braves players who don't seem to understand how it works, that you say things and there's people there with notebooks and recorders and cameras. You're on the record, as they say. But like to get caught up in that. And now listen, I don't know if Bryce Harper like truly was motivated by that. I mean, that's sort of what we're all going with here. He internalized it and it's Michael Jordan in his Last Dance documentary saying, I took that personally, maybe. If he's that kind of player, more power to him. You know, I really need more power on the Phillies. They hit a lot of home runs in that series. Yeah, I mean, somebody said, this is before this series, you have to remember, Braves Twitter is basically a bunch of 15-year-olds, and that's probably true. So it's sort of putting aside chants and chops and things like that. I think sometimes we root against teams because we just don't like their fans, or we think we don't like their fans based on the worst of them, but they do not present the best case for feeling any kind of affinity, temporary or otherwise, for the Braves in the postseason. So they're out. Yeah, the Phillies right now, I think you as a fan, if you're willing to, you like to get caught up in somebody else's storyline, somebody else's narrative. It's all temporary. You know, we'll be back to hating them when we need to. Sports hating, obviously. Phillies right now are a likable story, a likable bunch. You know, listen, I think I've heard noisy stadiums before, so I don't know that they just invented that in Philadelphia. But if they want to put that across, if that's their thing, I was thinking last night, game four, man, I would have liked to have had the red and powder blue concession of these people, because every single one of them seemed to be dressed for the occasion, even more so than you usually see for a big game, playoff game, any kind of sport. These people were into it. And, you know, I just was in the company of some Phillies fans on closing day, had no problem with them, even some girl wearing an Utley jersey, as they say. They should have had her removed just on principle, but they weren't bothering anybody. Listen, we would rather not be watching the Braves and the Phillies from the comfort of not having anything to root for ourselves. This is what postseason baseball is for. It is for all of us. So in any thought that goes into, well, at least we made it here, that doesn't fly. We know we're out.
Somebody wore a Chase Utley jersey to Citi Field, and they didn't even realize, or did they realize what they were?
I don't know. I did not question this person a couple of rows in front of me. I mean, you know, there's some, again, you get a sizable contingent of Phillies fans in a year when the Phillies are doing well, just as you get a sizable contingent of Mets fans at Citizens Bank Park when the Mets are doing well, or even when they're not. We both know how that goes. I saw Harper jerseys or T-shirts, and maybe Reese Hoskins and Real Muto, people like that, and Utley. And it's like, ugh, you wore that here? I'm sure to the people in Philadelphia, he is a hero, and they don't think of him as a Dodger? Yeah, so be it. As I watch them wearing their throwbacks in the playoffs, their road powder blues, but they don't wear them on the road, they wear them at home now, from the 70s. Like, you know, I always like that logo, he's got a kick out of that uniform, but I began to think of the pinstripe version of it, you know, from the 70s and the 80s, and seeing Mike Schmidt and that whole crew, and Wow, I can't believe like I don't hate the Phillies more than anything right now because I really couldn't stand that team. But the Octobers move on and they give you something different every year a little bit if you are so inclined. Can't say it enough. Goodbye, Braves, and I don't know if I'll go so far as to say good luck, Phillies, because they're not playing the Braves next. And what fun is that?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks, my most positive thought about the Diamondbacks is Luis Gonzalez in 2001.
Yeah, those were golden Diamondbacks. You can almost forget everything about Curt Schilling after that World Series for how well he came through, and 2004 ALCS too, I suppose. These Diamondbacks to us are not as well known, even though we did see them in September. We took 3 out of 4, I believe. This is everything about the contemporary postseason, meaning the 12-team postseason, is that all you got to do is get in and be on a bit of a roll, and next thing you know, you're in the league championship series. And they did it. They took care of what was at least on paper a certainly a more winning Brewers team, a team that had won its division and won more games for what that's worth. And then they were the Dodgers. So, when you're as caught up in disliking the Braves, you'd think you wouldn't have enough time to dislike the Dodgers, but don't care for them either. That whole Chase Utley thing still runs the wrong way. Diamondbacks have enough talent and enough pitching, and the Dodgers didn't show up for whatever reason. Again, but like the Braves, you look at them and you're saying, how do they ever lose? But they did lose, and I don't know if it's, oh my God, they had to sit around for 5 days. They had to have a layoff, which is your reward. Although the conventional wisdom is that it's not such a great thing to sit around for 5 days and face another team that is always playing on the edge because, you lose 2 games in the first round, you're out. Just to get into the first round, it took some doing. I mean, the Diamondbacks, what we shall recall, because it was part of that whole are the Mets going to play 4 outs versus the Marlins thing, was the Diamondbacks along with the Cubs and the Reds, and if anybody else was involved at this point, were no sure thing to be in the playoffs, whereas the Braves and the Dodgers were sure things months ago, especially the Braves. But the Dodgers are always the Dodgers, and yet always the Dodgers and always the Braves in October. At least these 2 Octobers with this format has meant 3 or 4 and out, so be it. The Diamondbacks closer is Paul Sewald, which is just fascinating because Paul Sewald was, the Jacob Rehm of his time. Drew Smith, I suppose, took up that mantle for a while, and now he's kind of permanent until he isn't. And we had so many Jacob Rehm, Paul Sewald, Drew Smith types this year. I can't even come up with a good archetype, but there he is. He got the coaching or the confidence or whatever it is that made Paul Sewald a lockdown closer for a playoff team. And the Diamondbacks have Tommy Pham, who I swear to God, I look at him and I do not remember that he was on the Mets, even though I know completely that he was on the Mets and we traded him and it was a big deal. And I remember writing things about Tommy Pham in the course of the season. And it's like he's such a have bat little travel player that it's like, oh yeah, he was here. And you look over in the American League, there's a lot of that going on too in terms of Mets who you've already sort of forgotten were Mets, even though you know that they were Mets. But hey, congratulations, Diamondbacks. And if they want to go on and have a nice bookend for 2001, they have my blessing.
The Diamondbacks, I went through the rosters. The Diamondbacks, as you said, have Pham and Sewald, and they also have Miguel Castro,
Oh
former.
God, I forgot about him.
And the Phillies, of course, have Zach Wheeler and Taijuan Walker. We'll see if Walker gets the pitch. And in the American League, the Texas Rangers, of course, have Scherzer if he pitches, Jacob deGrom, who won't pitch, and Travis Jankowski. Well, the Houston Astros have Justin Verlander, and I miss him, even though he wasn't here very long, and Rafael Montero. What do you make of the fact that none of these teams won more than 90 games? Three 90-win teams and Arizona won 84. There are a lot of people talking about the playoff structure, as you touched on. To me, it's as I agree with you, it's a reward to get a bye. And the way the NL playoffs worked out this year, it went 2-0. So that was Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday was supposed to be game three. Friday was supposed to be a travel day. So the Phillies had 2 days off. Then they played Saturday. And of course, they didn't want two games on Sunday because they're afraid of the NFL. So there was only one game on Sunday. It wasn't the National League. So the second game of the National League series was on Monday. So there was another day off. So the Phillies were able to catch their breath, set their rotation. A lot of people that were saying it's too much, the series are too short, there's not enough reward. The teams that have the higher record need to play better.
You're absolutely right. Play better. I mean, there's really no other antidote to, oh dear, what are we going to do that we have teams that win 100 games and they go home right away? Listen, I guess you could give them the option if you're going to stick with this 12-team business, saying, would you like to play in a first round so you stay sharp and make, the 84-win team sit off on the sidelines for 5 days and get rusty? I mean, I guess you could do that. It sounds absurd, and it probably is absurd, and probably wouldn't fly. I read, I guess it was Ken Rosenthal going on with how that this was a crisis and a tragedy all at once. And once you have a 32-team major leagues, maybe you have a 16-team tournament, a la what we had in 2020 when they were just kind of making it up as they went along. Hey, Dodgers were really good in that one. When they don't have to play a full season. I mean, I guess you could do something wacky like only play, 100, making up a number, 140 games. And then you play like some kind of 22 game, I don't have to be 22, but a 22 game schedule of play teams that are in the playoffs at that point. You figure out some sort of round robin short season. And whoever comes out of that, the two teams that come out of that with the best record, play for the league championship. You're not going to do that. But you could get creative if this is really what you're worried about. Or maybe next year everything goes according to chalk, as they say, as it did in the American League last year, by the way. And as it didn't this year, because the two best teams in the American League by record were both in the East and they were both bounced summarily. So you never know. But listen, my feeling on this has always been, if you invite a team into your postseason, whatever the sport, they are under no obligation, even if they are the eighth seed or whatever they would be, depending on the sport, the lowest seed possible, they're under no obligation to be swept and go away. I think we got a little bit of our very temporary pro Phillies outlook here because they swept the Marlins. We were happy to see the Marlins go. You know what, though? The Marlins have beaten the Phillies and they've gone on and beaten Atlanta. Then you know what? I can't bring myself to say more power to the Marlins, but you're in it. You've been invited in. You're supposed to make the most of it. You're not just there as window dressing. You're not a prop. You're not the eight seed New Jersey Nets being taken care of by the Chicago Bulls en route to another ring, just to use something that haunts me. C'est la vie. Play better, everybody. And I'm sure they're all trying, but for whatever reason, these other teams, the teams that have been winning, they've got something going for them. Again, Baltimore, best team in the American League for the whole year. They were run over by Texas. Tampa Bay, the team that we all watched get out to that 13-0 start and just seemed so daunting all year. Not only were they pushed aside by the Rangers, but nobody showed up to watch them. Which is another issue, and I don't want to pick on on those nice people who don't want to go to the ballpark in St. Petersburg. Probably the most heartening thing I've seen, other than the bouncing of the Braves and the Dodgers and the Marlins, I suppose. It was nice to see the Twins win a series, even though it didn't last. It was nice to see them beat the Astros a game just so they didn't revert to form. But the Astros are the one team. I know they only won 90 games, but they're the one team that seems immune to all this. Oh my God. What are we going to do here with our poor, really good teams? We're so worried for them. The Astros are sort of the antithesis of that. And you know what? Phillies ain't a bad team. Phillies are not a, this is not a shock that they can win a couple of postseason series as they did. Certainly not against the Marlins, and honestly, not against the Braves. They certainly know each other well enough. We know that lineup pretty well. We know the pitching. We know Zach Wheeler. It's a good team. So I guess there is that sense, well, oh my God, we played 162 games for what exactly? But, you know, after a while, you know, you play 162 games and one team has 100 wins, one team has 90 wins. There's a differential, but you're still, you know, that's like what, like one plus every, you know, at each month for 6 months. They're probably closer than they appear when you just look at the standings. And as we know, anybody can beat anybody. And I guess I'm walking into that, the R word of random, which I hate, because we do like to believe that there is really some winning chromosome or something that gets into a team or gets into a player. Bryce Harper, what a winner, what a competitor, although never won a World Series. So who the hell knows what that means? But they're all professionals. They're all talented. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. You know what? Win. That's all you can do.
Before we go, I want to get your thoughts on the ALCS between Houston and the Texas Rangers. I'm having trouble with that series because they're both in Texas, and I don't root for Texas teams. I like Justin Verlander, though, and Corey Seager helped my fantasy team to victory. So I've been following the Texas Rangers all year, but they do have Max Scherzer. On the other hand, Houston cheated, and I still can't forget that. So I'm having trouble with that series. I think it's going to be a great series, though. How do you feel about it?
You know, they are rivals to begin with. They're division rivals, and they're in-state rivals, and there is some bad blood. Sounds very cliched, but it's true. They don't like each other, you know, nor should they, I suppose. I mean, for us, you know, again, Verlander, to me, a little bit in that Tommy Pham realm of that's right, he was on the Mets. Scherzer, again, they said, oh, he's out for the postseason. Well, he might not be out for the postseason. You know, he's going to be back. And as we speak, we haven't heard anything, but it would not be surprising if he gets out there and maybe he will be the warrior god again. Or maybe he will be boy, my slider wasn't working. Didn't have the sweat and rosin going or whatever it is. You know, I find as these series progress for all the pegs we grab onto, like, oh, there's an ex-Met and there's somebody who helped us on our fantasy team or there's something we liked or didn't like. These things sort of evolve of their own steam. So I'm kind of going in, certainly not rooting for Houston. I don't know that I'm all that excited about rooting for Texas. I mean, there are certainly of the four teams left, if you're just looking at it from a, boy, it would be sure nice if they could win once, assuming that there are people who really care about that. And, you know, let's not look down our nose at football country. There are Texas Ranger fans out there who had their hearts broken in 2011 when the World Series got away from them. It would be nice for them, but, you know, that's not my problem. But by the ninth inning of the seventh game of whichever series they're in, whether it's the ALCS or the World Series, I might be so completely caught up in their drama that I will be like, much like I was during this Phillies Braves thing, finding myself clapping when a Philly did something well. And I don't think it was just because of my disdain for the Braves. You know, it's like, oh no, that can't, you know, the way you watch a sporting event where you just suddenly care. So I agree. It's a good matchup. They finished tied, I believe, right? I mean, you know, there were tiebreakers involved, but they both had 90 wins. They both had turns at the top of their division. I guess Texas had it most of the season, and then they and Houston and Seattle traded off. You know, we saw three of the remaining teams as the season was ending. Texas at the end of August, I guess. Arizona in the middle of September and Philadelphia the final 2 weeks. And I guess we saw Atlanta about the third week of August. So, Atlanta's not involved, excuse me. Who cares anymore? the Houston's the other team that we haven't seen them in quite a while, which is just as well. You know, Texas did not look like a world beater. They had just sort of fallen off their perch when they came into Citi Field and they gave away. They'd be division champions. I don't feel like looking up all the details right now, but the final game of that Met Rangers series was one that was just, it was a silver platter game. I know that this is the silver boot series between the two Texas teams. This was the silver platter game. The Mets tried to give it to Texas, and somehow the Mets held on to it. Again, we saw an Arizona team that looked like it wasn't going to make the playoffs. They're all there, is what I'm saying. And I don't know who's going to win either series. Will I be watching? Absolutely. Maybe not every single pitch. I realize I was not, like, you know, this postseason format takes a little while to engage me. I didn't even realize until the final game of the Dodger-Diamondback series, I'd completely forgotten, A, that Ahmed Rosario was on the Dodgers, and B, I didn't even realize he wasn't on their rosters. It suddenly hit me, hey, he hasn't played, has he? And it's like, oh, they left him off their roster. Well, no wonder they lost. I know. There's probably not a lot of correlation there. So, but I will leave you with this. The thing you mentioned at the beginning, the little message I tweeted or X'd out at the beginning of the final Brave Philly series was like, oh joy, you know, and say, oh joy. I just said, you know, getting ready to watch the team I can't stand, root against the team I can't stand and root for the team I also can't stand. And somebody actually said to me, like, nobody's forcing you to watch. You don't have to watch. I'm like, well, no, I'm going to watch. I was looking forward to it all day, actually, because there, you know, hadn't been a baseball game on until 8 o'clock. And so I'm going to watch. It's a different experience when you don't have a team that either you're all in on, which is the Mets, basically, or a team that maybe you've fallen in love with in the course of a couple of series, or that there's not a team that you just absolutely, your life would be worse if they won a championship. And I don't even feel that way about these Phillies. I mean, I might next year, if I'm at Citi Field, seeing the Mets play the Phillies, and there's a deluge of Phillies fans. And yeah, they're wearing their Utley jerseys and other jerseys of players I will like even less by then. But don't feel that way right now. Diamondbacks, you know, again, sort of, I know they're, you know, Sedona red, but they're more beige to me. I just don't know them that well. And Astros and Rangers, I mean, listen, Texas is a big state. There are lots of good people in Texas. I've known in my life both Astros fans and Rangers fans, and nothing against either one of those families. Whatever happens, it's baseball. Two league championship series, one World Series. Happy to have it for as long as we have it.
And we get to hear Ron Darling announcing the National League Series. I looked it up. The last game of that Texas series, I know we're trying to forget 2023. I talked about it on the last show. You're going to talk about it on the next show. The Mets won on a walk-off hit by pitch. DJ Stewart was hit by a pitch with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th inning.
Which never should have gotten the 10th inning. The Rangers had all sorts of opportunities to score, as I recall. You know, these were the 2023 Mets. But, you know, it's a long season, and I'm sure the Rangers won some games that they had no business winning, as all teams do. But I'm just taking the parochial point of view. That's the game I remember for the Texas Rangers. That and Jacob deGrom walking off the mound early in the year. And here they are, four games from the World Series. Without, you know, six games from Jacob deGrom, I believe, and a no longer sure thing in Max Scherzer. You know, it's got to be Travis Jankowski. You know, Travis Jankowski is synonymous as a pinch runner to us, much as Terrence Gore was. You know what would be a really good name for pinch runner? Taylor Swift. Think about it.
Stolen base, parentheses, Taylor's version.
There you go.
All right. So I look forward to hearing your remembrances and your historical perspective of 2023 on Thursday. It was good talking to you, Greg. Only one more thing left to say. I'm Jeff Heisen.
I'm Greg Prince.
And as always, let's go Mets. Copyright 2023. Even though there was no music on this show, music provided by the Royal Arctic Institute. Check them out on Spotify.
Let's go Mets.